Okay, warriors, you are listening to Unqualified Therapists. Remember, stay wild and weird.
Hey, warriors, this is Amy.
And I'm Sarah. We started this podcast because mental health is complicated and the stigma surrounding it can make us feel alone.
So we are here to share authentic stories in order to normalize and prioritize mental health.
We believe in professional therapy. We both use it on our own healing journeys.
But we also know it isn't one size fits all. So we are here to provide tools from our own experiences,
as well as those from our guests and professionals that come on the show.
Thank you for being here as we navigate the complexities of mental health and mental illness together.
Remember, hold on, warriors. We're gonna make it. Warrior.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Unqualified Therapists.
In the morning.
I don't think anyone wants to hear it, but I'm going to tell them, sometimes it's really hard to get this recorded.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, this is attempt two, even though it feels like attempt six, because the first attempt
was so painful.
Technology issues, nothing was working. It was just a giant pain in the ass. But here we are.
Talking about something really hard and then being like, just glitching out.
I was like, you're gone.
Never glitched that much before.
So we're back in person because we were trying to do that remotely. So we're back in person. And trying to do that with the two of our schedules is a lot. But we are here for you and for us and for all the things.
I mean, and since we're starting over, I get to tell you all over again about bed rotting. I can't not say it because the word is just so good and
it's
gross.
It's so gross. So this is a new thing you found.
This is a thing I found on Instagram. It came up and it was an article in Daily Ohm. And so this idea of bed rotting, actually, it's from TikTok. I haven't come across it. It's not on my like For You page, so I don't know. But that's what they're saying. It's when you lay in bed from burnout, from depression or whatever, and you just stay there for like a day or 2 days, like the whole weekend maybe. And you watch Netflix, scroll your phone, stare at the ceiling.
I can't believe it's called bed rotting. To me, that's just called Saturday. Like... I don't know.
Maybe the youngins wanted to like give it a cool name.
It's so not cool. It's gross.
It is. It's really gross. And so, you know, here's the idea. And then, you know, of course, the qualified weighs in and they talk about how, yes, self-care and slowing down is so important and we need to work on, you know, healing from our burnout. But the problem is that it can lead to like severe depression, especially if you're prone to it.
Yeah.
So bed rotting is not an answer for me. I cannot do that. I have to like actually schedule the time and get up afterwards because I could lay there.
I could too. My schedule is so full though that I wouldn't be able to stay there. So I guess it's okay. But if I had any kind of blank space in my schedule at all, past that one day that I usually bed rot, I'd be in trouble.
Gonna make a for patch. Sure. For our little patch.
Yes, for our patch, our sashes.
Oh my gosh, bed rot.
TM.
That's so great.
Although I will say, I don't feel good about it. I feel guilty the entire time.
Exactly. So it's not really actually helping me.
No, it's not. So
it's never been a good plan. It's never really worked. If I can say I'm going to watch this movie, if I can say, you know, I'm going to do this thing in an amount of time, it's okay. But my body actually starts to hurt.
Mine too. My lower back starts to hurt.
I start to hurt everywhere. That's probably part of the depression.
Yeah. Or just age and laying in bed for too long.
Oh my gosh. So real quick, moving on with age. And you and I haven't discussed this, so you are going to be so disappointed in me. Maybe the most disappointment ever.
What? I doubt that.
Okay. And I'm only well, there's lots of reasons I'm talking about this. One, because the topic's so heavy today. And two, because I have to tell someone, and maybe out in the world of this podcast, somebody else can agree with me. I haven't recognized my age. Really, I just don't feel that. Like, I just am what yeah. I feel very like, I don't know, like I get things, like I understand it. And I'll tell you how I realized that there's what, 3 years between us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody with that amount of time between me and lower don't understand. Here's why. I could give zero shits about NSYNC. I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm confused as hell.
I'm not disappointed.
It's
just a different, it's a different music genre.
But here's the thing. How does 3 years?
It's not 3 years. It's music preference.
No, because I was in a different like world.
It is. It's definitely music preference because.
But I was like at the clubs.
Yeah.
Don't you think they would play that?
No, they didn't play NSYNC at the clubs.
Okay, well, I was in college for sure. And then when they got really popular, like I was married.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just don't think that. And maybe because in college, it was just everything was uncool. And so pop yeah. music was definitely not what anyone listened to.
Yeah. I was just a dork and didn't care because I was in college, too. I was in college when I went to go see them on the No Strings Attached tour. And here's the funny thing. So this woman came in and was talking to me about NSYNC at the VMAs and whatever. And she's like, that was my first concert. I went to the No Strings Attached tour.
Oh, well, that's real.
I was five.
5 years old.
I go, I was in college.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, people are like losing their minds.
I mean, I'm excited about it.
Losing their minds over this. Yeah. And how I remember them is I was a camp counselor in the Catskills and I had 7 and 8 year olds and they were all jamming out to them. That's yeah. the only way I know them.
Oh, no. I know that I was too old to be listening to it.
Yeah, but I do think there's other people, like but lots of people your age who, I don't know, who really like them. Especially, well.
I think it's the same thing as like our age, people loving Taylor Swift. She's pop. She's poppy. She's like that same music genre. It's just a different, you were in a different spot in your life, I guess.
I was much cooler. And than I am now.
I was not.
Because like I'm Taylor obsessed. And so Mike was like, look, even Taylor loves them. Yeah. And I was like, but that doesn't make me, I don't get it. And so I don't understand. I mean, I recognize their music like as background. So like, of course you pick up on the words and you know it. Anyways, I've missed the whole excitement, but I do predict that they're going to play at the Super Bowl.
That would be amazing because when them and Britney played at the Super Bowl with Aerosmith, it was amazing.
Can we just talk about FOMO? Aerosmith came to Pittsburgh and we missed it. And apparently it was the best show that people have seen in their whole freaking lives.
Of course it was.
It wasn't even on my radar.
Nope, didn't even hear about it.
And so I missed it, and I am so bummed.
I didn't hear about it until I saw people posting about it on their Instagram.
And then I was like, it's too late. I was like, no. I think it was sold out.
Probably. I don't see how it couldn't be. They're amazing.
Aww.
I've never gotten to see them either.
Like, I would have rather done that than Guns N' Roses. I mean, they were all right. Sure. But
you went and saw. How did I not even know you went and saw Guns N' Roses?
I mean, I'll see every show that I know about. I just didn't know. So bummed.
We needed to get some laughter out. Shake off some of the hard, because September is Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month. And so this is a topic that is very much close to home for both of us, especially Amy. So we really wanted to address it, especially with this being a mental health podcast. We would love to talk to you about our stories and share for you some new resources that Amy learned about and give you some tips and tools. So you recently went to a walk here in Pittsburgh for suicide prevention.
I did. I went to a walk in Pittsburgh called Out of the Darkness, and it is for Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. And it was something that it took, 4 years for me to be able to want to go, to have any desire to go. And it was really important to me. It was really moving. I think that I was so bitter and so angry for so long that I just thought, especially at the system. And I just thought, you know, F all you. Like, you didn't help me. You didn't help my husband. And so, you know, I don't want anything to do with this. And I'm not really sure where the turning point was. It was just a feeling that I had. And I was like, this is something that I have to do. And I wanted to experience it and see what it was like. And it was really powerful. when things are really, really uncomfortable, and you probably saw this on my stories, if you're following us on Instagram at Unqualified Therapist, but you can get beads. And so the beads are, is it a friend? Are you just a supporter? Did you lose a spouse, a mom, a child? Is it for yourself? Like, why are you walking? And so the different colors represent different things. And you go, you wait in this line, and then you go to the front and you tell them what color you want. And red was for the loss of a spouse, and green was for yourself. And of course, that's a really hard thing, right? Like, that's probably one of the heavier ones. And so I ask for it, and the lady just looks at me with these eyes that were just so sad and sweet and supportive and all those things. And I was incredibly uncomfortable because I always am in those sort of situations. And I just looked at her and I was like, Christmas colors.
Oh my gosh. When you were saying what the colors were, I was like, oh, Christmas colors.
Uh-huh. That's what I said to her. Aww. I go, oh, Christmas colors. And dead silence, because what do you say, right? And yeah, that's not her fault. It's just like, I don't know what makes me do those things.
It's discomfort. I do the same thing. We both do. Yeah.
It's so weird. And so, yeah, so I wore Christmas colors to the walk. And then there's buttons. And so you can write like who you're walking for or why you're walking on the buttons. And then around the perimeter of the stadium before the walk are booth after booth after booth of different people representing either, there was a lot for AHN and a lot for UPMC. So different hospitals, different health networks. And then also some people from Pitt who were, you know, doing research. And so their research study was there. Some independent mental health clinics who were talking about some new forms of treatment that were very, very cool that I'd never heard of before. And some new medicines and all of these things, lots and lots of resources that I had never seen before, because I truly have closed off for 4 years because I didn't want to have to, I don't know. I was just mad. I was just very angry. And so I was pleasantly surprised. I felt very hopeful that there were these changes and these things that had been occurring. And then also that there were thousands of people there. And I, you know, people drove in, so it wasn't just local people. And so, so many people there to support each other and to support themselves, and then, you know, walking for whoever it was that they were walking for. So I'm really glad that I went. I feel like it just made me see things a little bit from a different lens and a little less angry and a little less bitter. Definitely do not think that we have this problem solved. But the website for AFSP, so the American Federation of Suicide Prevention,
sounds right.
That sounds about right, doesn't it? It says the first line is talk is the first step. Mm-hmm. And I love that because that's what we do, right?
Right.
That's what we do here is that we talk, and it seems simple, but it's really a big deal because no one talks about it.
Yeah.
And so it's really uncomfortable, and that's why you say things like Christmas colors. Super uncomfortable to talk about, and people don't like talking about it. And so one of the booths was called Seize the Awkward.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it's called,
I love
it's
that.
5 ways to start a conversation. These are specifically for teens, but I think this is great for adults. And I'm going to read them to you because I think these are really great ways that you can start a conversation with someone who maybe you think is not doing so well, mm-hmm. but you're not really sure, like, how do you approach that? Hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. How are you? Real simple.
Yeah.
Number 2, are you okay? You don't seem like yourself lately. Number 3, hey, you seem really frustrated today. I just want you to know I'm here for you. 4, seems like something's up. Do you want to talk about what's going on? And 5, I'm worried about you and would like to know what's up so I can help. Now, those, obviously the phrasings of that is like in a teenage voice, but you can put that however you want. And really, even if the person, in my opinion at least, says no thank you, even just saying that,
yeah,
makes the difference.
It does. It really does.
Even if you don't get a response. And so I always say to people, ask and ask and ask again until you're annoying them.
Yeah.
Don't stop texting. Don't stop calling. You know, just keep going with that. And so I really like that. It's a campaign. And I just thought that was very cool. Seize the Awkward.
I love that. Is there a site or anything like that for that? Or we can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's at Seize the Awkward on Instagram. And then I can also put that in the show notes for sure. It's seizetheawkward.org. That is not something that was around before.
No. We didn't have tools on how to ask somebody.
We didn't talk about it.
No.
It was scary. Mm-hmm. And it was dangerous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people still think those things. So that's why we're here and we continue to talk. And that's why I really like to check out, you know, these organizations and see this, the ways that they are opening that up for people. So, yeah, it was a really great experience. I was very happy to see the growth, I guess, in the world of mental health. It didn't seem so hush-hush. It didn't seem so PC. It seemed a little bit more in your face. And I really felt like I can get behind that.
I feel like people are being a lot more open about their experiences and how they're feeling now. And that is due to more people speaking up and using their voices.
Yeah. Somehow I didn't even realize, because it was so traumatic. You know, last year we put out an episode called Everything Happens for a Reason. Mm-hmm. So ironic, right? Mm-hmm. Am I using that word right, Alanis?
Yeah, yes.
And in that episode, a very small portion of that episode, I share about a really difficult moment that I had suicidal ideations. And I felt trapped and I felt like I couldn't get out of this part of my life. And I felt like everything was going wrong. And I felt so overwhelmed that I couldn't see a path forward. And I truly did have these notions of wanting to just call it quits because I couldn't see a way out. It was one night, you know, laying on the garage floor, just really, really at the end of the rope, more so than I feel like I ever have been. And so I shared that on the podcast. I shared that. And then I shared about what I did. And I shared that I called someone, that I told my partner who lives with me, and that I went to bed. I have found that when I wake up in the morning, it's not gone, but it's a little less powerful and overwhelming. After sharing that, that caused and putting that out into the world, my entire life to just really flip upside down. Impacted me in such a way that I will never be the same, because I had this moment of, I'm never telling my story again.
Right, right.
This podcast is bullshit. I should have never tried. The purpose of the podcast for both Sarah and I was because really terrible, horrible things happened and we were so tired of being quiet about it.
Right.
And we say on here all the time that when you get it out of your mouth, when you get it out into the world, it's just less. Mm-hmm. And we felt like other people hearing these stories who don't have a spot to say that, don't have a person to say that, at least can say, oh, well, somebody else went through that and they're still around and they're still going and it's going to be okay and I can keep going too. That was the point. Yeah. Not because I wanted to air my dirty laundry. Do I really want people to think like that I'm so, because really there's lots of ways you could take it. You could be like, that is the most selfish thing. They lost their dad to suicide and then their mom is going to go ahead and have these emotions, you know, and want to end it too. Do I really want that out there? Probably not. But I felt like the greater good was for me to share that so that people knew, even in that situation where, you know, I understand the magnitude of what that meant. I really do. I still felt it.
Yeah, and you should be able to speak those feelings. And I just want to give people an idea of suicidal ideation is actually a lot more common than you would think. Suicidal ideation is actually a broad term that's used to describe when you're feeling contemplations, you're feeling maybe even wishes or having a preoccupation with death or suicide, you're feeling like a burden, like the world would be better off without you, but you haven't made a plan yet, you're not moving forward with anything, you just have those thoughts that are a lot darker. And so I think a lot more people have experienced suicidal ideation than maybe have even realized it.
Yeah, because they didn't know the terminology or what that meant.
Exactly. So I think talking about it, educating people, letting everyone know that that is something that can happen. I've also learned recently about something so basic. It seems so common sense, but when you're in a situation like a suicidal ideation spiral, common sense is not existent.
No. No. Like, not at all.
Yes. So we've both been there. We've both experienced it. And it's a really tough spot to get
out of. You tried to speak common sense to me, and I was like, I hate you.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And that's okay.
But I think that that's what people have to understand. There's this, it's a weird takeover. It's a takeover.
Yes. And if your friend calls you and is talking to you about these things and you are speaking to them and you're scared, obviously, and you're giving them the things that they need to hear or don't want to hear, you have to be okay with them being angry at you. Like, you have to be okay with that. So I want to give that piece of advice too, because they're going to get angry with you. I got angry with the people who were talking to me. I know you got angry with me. It's hard not to, because you're just,
because,
like,
what you want to say to them is you don't understand.
Yeah.
And at that moment in time, no one really does.
No.
What's going on in your body and in your mind.
Even if you've been there before.
It's different.
It's different because when you're out of it, you can't.
You can't recall it.
Recall it. You can't be like, oh, I remember what that feels like. I mean, you do, but it's
but
like
not
in the truest sense of it.
Because I can't even imagine in this moment in time ever wanting to end my life.
Mm-hmm. Even though.
Even though I had that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope that makes people feel like they're just not the only ones.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. You are not alone. There's an acronym to think of when you are feeling, and this is good for addiction, like if addiction relapses, this is good for suicidal ideation. This is good for just like, why the fuck am I feeling so ragey? Those types of, any kind of strong, big, huge emotions that you're feeling. And it's HALT. And it's, am I hungry? Am I angry? Am I lonely? Or am I tired?
I love that.
Yes. So just using that HALT method to be mindful and check your basic needs when you're feeling those big feelings, and addressing each of those can be a huge help in pulling you at least a little bit away from that moment. Because we always say too, and this is true, as much as it doesn't feel true in the moment, if you hold on through the moment, you will make it out to the other side. There is another side. Even though it feels like
in
there's
that
not.
Moment, you will not see the other side. You will not believe that the person, you will not believe that there is another side. But it really, there really is. It's like not being able to breathe. And then you're like, I'm never breathing again. Yeah. And then you're able to take a deep breath and you're like, oh, I don't remember what that was like when I was suffocating.
Right. It's really hard to see the rainbow through the rain.
And that's with... I was ready for an Amy stat. That's with 90% of us. Not actual stat. Because there's the other 10% that was like my husband, Scott, who was severely ill with his brain being broken, with psychosis, with, it was more than sadness. It was more than moments. And it's just a little bit, I should say, a lot different than what we're talking about here. And so I feel like it's important to say, to say this out loud to anyone who's lost someone. The more that I've thought about this and reflected, and is what you need to remember is that it wasn't selfish, that whatever, that they wanted to be here more than anything in the world, but they couldn't in the mindset that they were in, that they couldn't with the way that their brain was, with the way that their health was, with the way that the world had just taken them. Mm-hmm. And so being angry is a totally normal reaction. I was angry this morning at him because I'm going away this weekend and both of my kids, I have a child who's like the biggest baller in the world. She's 13 in eighth grade, crying, both of them crying. Because they have the severe abandonment issues because of their father leaving. Well, so I was pissed at him. I mean, it's normal to be mad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to understand they're not being selfish. It really is not a selfish act. It is not a selfish thought. There's a lot physical about this.
I know that when I was in that spot, I genuinely believed I was a burden, and I genuinely believed that my family and friends would have been better off without me. I was not thinking selfishly at all. I was thinking of my family and thinking the only way to lighten their burden is for me to leave this world. I obviously, that was depression speaking, and we depression lies.
Right.
I have to, one thing that I learned in therapy that I've said on here a million times, your thoughts are not facts. And that's something I have to tell myself whenever I start thinking things like that about myself. My thoughts are not facts. This is depression lying to me. And that helps a lot. And these simple tips, it's not, there's nothing mind blowing. There's nothing like these huge gestures that you can do. It's really small steps in order to help someone that you love or yourself with these types of situations.
Yeah, and consistency. Consistent small check-ins rather than grand gestures are really what people need. And again, please don't ever feel like they're going in vain. Every time you reach out, it matters.
It does.
And when you say to yourself, because I do this all the time, oh my God, I forgot to check in with that person. Just do it right then.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. And if it's been months, years, whatever, still do it. If you have a feeling, do it.
Absolutely. You never know. What can you lose?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes those feelings come for a very strong reason. The universe is telling you, I know you haven't thought about this person in 2 years, but if you're thinking about them right now, let them know. And it can make all the difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, suicide prevention was a big sticking point for me. I used to be like, it can't be prevented. And what I've come to understand is what I just talked about, that there's two different versions of that. You know, there's what people go through with ideations that I really think we can stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we can halt that. Mm-hmm. And we can change the trajectory of that. And then there's other times where health has deteriorated in the same way that cancer would take you, and you're just that you're on that road and there's just, you know, you're at end of life, that sort of thing with a mental health illness or mental illness. That I'm not sure. I mean, I would love to think that there was a way to stop what happened with Scott, but my gut says there wasn't. And this was just kind of the path that he was on, and that his brain was just too broken to continue in a way that he could live his best life.
Right.
Just like your body breaks down.
Mm-hmm. There was a man in Australia who lived across the street from the spot in Australia that has the highest rate of suicide. And he continued to live there for over 50 years because whenever he would see someone approaching the spot, he would go out and talk to them.
Oh my gosh.
And he saved hundreds of people.
Holy life purpose.
Right? And so the small gesture of talking to another human being that you don't even know, he didn't know these people, can definitely make a difference. So when we say reach out and ask somebody how they're doing, or just say hi and just tell them you're thinking of them, that it will make a huge difference, I mean it. It really does. I did want to give you a couple of stats just to help understand a little bit. Also to let you know that your role in suicide prevention, even if it hasn't touched you personally, can be that you are an advocate and that you just share some of this information with people. So posting things on your social media is helpful, letting people know what the signs are, what the warning signs are, and giving them tips on how to approach that can be extremely helpful.
When you post, now you're a safe person.
Yes. Yeah. So people know I can talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the statistics from the National Alliance of Mental Illness is that although more women than men attempt suicide, men are 4 times more likely to die by suicide. 46% of people who die by suicide have been diagnosed with a mental health condition, but research suggests that 90% may have experienced symptoms of a mental health condition prior to that. So that goes to show, it's like these things that we talk about, it's not a selfish act. There is a mental illness component attached to that. Just know that you can play a role in helping someone stay here and be here.
So I talked to you about having a conversation or how to start the conversation. It was for teens, but I think it's great for all of us. Another little note that they had on one of their brochures for the American foundation of, for suicide prevention was about having this honest conversation. And this is exactly what we've been talking about. So if you're worried about someone, assume you are the only one who will reach out. Mm.
Yes.
So talk to them in private and tell them you care. I mean, I would like to think that's like common sense. Don't be at the bar and be like, yo, you all right? Because you seem like you might want to die.
Oh my God.
Don't do that. Listen to their story. Avoid debating the value of life and minimizing their problems or giving advice. Mm. I think those are important. And I think that, you know, sometimes I've made those mistakes of trying to, like, I don't know, rationalize with someone about why this is a terrible plan.
Because you see their value and you're like, why don't you see this? Why can't you see how wonderful you are and how much you're loved and needed? And so it's really hard not to do that.
Yeah. It's okay. This is so important. It's okay to directly ask about suicide. Mm. It's not like this word that you have to avoid. Just come out and say it. And then encourage them to seek help or to contact their doctor or therapist. And if they're in a really bad spot, I say this a lot, try to, if you have the bandwidth, if you have the capacity, try to help them find at least a phone number of where they can start that journey. And then, you know, my personal advice to everyone is to have that person already in the good times. If this is something that, you know, depression and these feelings are something that you've experienced before, find your therapist, find your psychiatrist, find your people in the good times. It's much easier to make those calls.
Amen.
Oh, that was such a heavy conversation, but so necessary. And, you know, even though it's September is Prevention and Awareness Month, we talk about this all the time because it doesn't just happen in September. This is something that people struggle with and live with. And, you know, especially the people living as survivors every single day and knowing that, you know, they are not alone, to me, is one of the most important things.
I agree. I think that's probably the number one thing for most people who are, another made up stat, for most people who are experiencing. 90%
of the people. Do you ever notice that, like, the it's ones I give 90. On TV too, everything's 90%. Just pretend like, I don't know, that I never look anything. I will tell you if it's a true and blue regular stat that somebody's actually done.
I'll give you the
person who did it.
Speaking of, we're going to put the link to the National Alliance on Mental Illness in our show notes. That is NAMI. They are an excellent resource for suicide prevention. They also have some downloadable posts that you can put up on your Instagram or your Facebook or whatever social media that help to spread awareness and give some actual stats.
Can I just give you an actual stat real quick?
Yeah.
NAMI.
Yeah.
I just opened up my NAMI brochure.
Yes.
And only because, you know, NAMI says, not me, 90% of those who die by suicide have an underlying mental illness.
Yes.
Yeah. Not a funny stat, but at the same time, it's a real stat and it's 90%. I told you.
If you are experiencing thoughts and you are in a crisis situation, you can dial 988 for immediate help, or you can text HELP or NAMI to 741-741.
Another stat that they gave is that 8 of 10 workers with a mental health condition say that shame and stigma prevent them from seeking treatment. Another reason for this podcast, another reason we speak out so much, regardless of how it affects our own lives, because we do not think there should be any shame, any stigma in having a mental illness, in having these thoughts, and not being able to talk about it.
The crisis resources on NAMI.org are Know the Warning Signs and Risk Factors of Suicide, Being Prepared for a Crisis. They also have a guide called Navigating Mental Health Crisis, and then What You Need to Know About Youth Suicide.
Thank you for hanging in with us on this particularly heavy topic, but so important. We hope that all of you out there are taking care, checking in on one another.
Hold on through the tough moments. You're gonna make it. We're here for you.
So remember to stay wild
and weird and awkward.
Be awkward.
Please. Be awkward.
It's Christmas.
Yes. Wear your Christmas colors. Yes. We love you, warriors. This episode was brought to you by Sarah Simone and Amy Baumgartner. Theme song and other music provided by Epidemic Sound. All episodes are mixed, mastered, and produced by me, Sarah Simone. To help us keep making episodes just like this one, consider supporting us on patreon.com/unqualifiedtherapistsinc. Or share us with a friend, relative, coworker, hairstylist, butcher, baker, candlestick maker. Sharing us not only helps keep the mics on, but it furthers our mission in removing the stigma. If you have a mental health journey you'd like to share, email us at unqualifiedtherapists@gmail.com or reach out to us on our website, www.unqualifiedtherapists.com. Until next time, hold on, warrior. We're gonna make it. Shut it out, make it when we go. When we go, yeah.